Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. A couple of things that I'll mention and then open up your questions. First off, as you all know, last night the Congress and the American people had an opportunity to listen and to find out whether President Obama meant what he said about a year of action, 2014 being a year of action, or whether it was nothing more than just another talking point used to rehash some of the failed economic policies of the past 5 years. Unfortunately, the president didn't use the opportunity to address what I think are some critical issues facing our unstable economy, and he failed to mention any of the bipartisan job-creating ideas that that have been offered by Congress. One example, of course, would be ending the 5-year delay of the Keystone XL pipeline, repealing Obamacare's job-killing medical device tax, which got 79 votes in the Senate last year, 30 Democrats, a very bipartisan idea. Those are some things that we put forward that we think the president could work with us on, and they're reforms that we could begin implementing today. So action on those types of proposals and policies, I think, would demonstrate the president's willingness to work across the aisle to make hardworking middle-class families a top priority. But he did talk a lot about some of the same recycled ideas and unsuccessful ideas that are going to continue to destroy thousands of jobs in this country and have a devastating impact on many of the small businesses that are already dealing with higher costs associated with his policies in the form of taxes and regulations. So if you look at 5 years of the president's policies, they've grown the size of the government, they've raised taxes, they've increased the regulatory burden on businesses, and at the same time that we've racked up record amounts of debt. And so I just think that even though his policies haven't been successful, he continues to insist on big government solutions, big government knows best. Yesterday, he bypassed Congress yet again to unilaterally enact a minimum wage increase for federal contractors. And in his speech last night, you heard the president call for Congress to boost the minimum wage by 40%. And obviously, that has a profound impact on jobs around the country. You also heard him talk about a number of other things that he was going to do unilaterally. And I think that's a real disappointment to the American people who want to see him working in a bipartisan way with the Congress. But I guess my question would be, why would he propose and encourage policies that destroy jobs during a time when you've got recession-high levels of unemployment? And especially today, when nearly 4 million Americans have been out of work for more than 6 months, and you've got a lot of young Americans, young adults, that are facing an unemployment rate of 13.5%, and for certain categories of young people, up to 20%, which is two or three times even the national average. We ought to be focusing on policies that reduce the size of the government, shrink the debt and the deficit, and eliminate a lot of the unneeded and cumbersome regulations that are making it more difficult and more expensive to create jobs in this country. Jobs really are the key. When you talk about the future of opportunity, prosperity, security, better life, you know, the best solution that we have to prosperity in America is sustainable growth in our economy of good-paying jobs for American citizens. So I am disappointed the president didn't use this opportunity to address some of those policies that would make it easier, not harder, for middle-class and working Americans. I just wanted to mention, as you all know, we've got a propane shortage in South Dakota. And last week I sent a letter to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration requesting an emergency declaration for South Dakota to help address the propane shortages that we're experiencing due to extreme cold weather conditions across the region. And yesterday they came through and issued the declaration, which does provide relief from the existing hours of service limits that apply to truck drivers for the interstate transport of propane and heating oil, while still, of course, requiring drivers to be fit to drive and to safely operate their vehicles. But, you know, these regional supply disruptions, the high demand that we've got resulting from a harvest where we had high moisture corn, and, of course, the long-lasting extreme cold temperatures we've seen here in recent weeks have drastically reduced propane and home heating oil supplies throughout the region. And that, of course, exacerbates the dangers to human life and welfare brought on by the winter's brutal cold. So we're going to continue to work with all applicable federal agencies as long as necessary to address these needs and to try and get solutions in place that will bring relief to people across South Dakota who are dealing with these energy issues in a very cold winter. Finally, I just want to mention, probably you know by now, the House this morning passed a new five-year farm bill. We will probably get it here in the Senate in the next few days, and I suspect act on it next week. And I would say as it approaches the finish line, I am relieved that we're closer to finalizing it now, that we've discussing it now for going on 3 years, but also disappointed that it wasn't completed back in 2012 when it should have been. And I'm also disappointed that the cornerstone safety net programs in the commodity title of this farm bill are not what the majority of farmers, especially those in South Dakota, asked us for as we worked on the farm bill. The farm bill, which is about 1,000 pages, includes what I would describe as a very problematic, flawed commodity title with an outdated and reworked countercyclical program. Now it's referred to as a different program, payment loss coverage program, which uses not only fixed but substantially increased high target prices to calculate payments. In fact, those target prices, which are now being called reference prices, are increased in some cases up to 88% for covered crops compared to the 2008 Farm Bill. And my fear is that even though this Farm Bill eliminates direct payments, this new program and its high fixed target prices are likely going to end up making payments on certain crops every year. And I had hoped that the commodity title of this bill would include a 21st century agricultural policy for 21st century agricultural production. And unfortunately, this is a throwback to a previous era, and this new program with high fixed target prices fails to meet that test. Having said that, there are a number of provisions in the other titles of the bill that I worked hard to get included in there. The livestock disaster program is something that Senator Baucus and I wrote in the 2008 Farm Bill and is included in this, along with the livestock indemnity program, which will provide the assistance that we need for livestock producers out in western South Dakota. It's got sod saver, conservation compliance requirements in the conservation title of the bill, policies that are going to be very good for conservation and wildlife production in South Dakota, a good forestry title that will help us fight pine beetles in the Black Hills. And so there are a number of things in that we work to have included in here, but I am really concerned about a faulty commodity title and what that might mean in terms of trade complaints, retaliation to agriculture and to our timber industry and manufacturing and businesses if this policy, which I think it will, gets challenged by some of our trading partners at the World Trade Organization. So I'll have to make a decision, a final decision on that here in the next few days. I haven't come to that yet, but those are some of my thoughts with regard to various elements of the bill. As I mentioned, there are a number of good things in titles of the Farm Bill, but the commodity title is a real problem. And so I've got to try and weigh the pros and cons of this thing, and we'll make a decision here in the next few days. So with that, I'd be happy to try and answer questions on those or the other subjects you want to talk about.